Hello, everybody. I'm Radio Johnny, along with Denise Miller, and you are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3 FM in Moscow Pullman. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah and Whitman Recovery Community Centers. You can find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. The Latah Recovery Community Center is located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRCC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. Their hours are 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. The Whitman Recovery Community Center is located at 226 East Main Street in Pullman, and you can contact them by phone at 509-715-1111 or by email at wrccprogrammanager@gmail.com. And their hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how addiction and behavioral health disorders affect us all and how we deal with them. We also share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for continued recovery. And like I said earlier, I am Radio Johnny, and I'm going to read a few of the upcoming things that I see on the calendar here in front of me. Okay, I see on the calendar here several cool things coming up in the month of February. Our typical week starts out on Monday with the 5:30 p.m. Men's AA meeting, 7 p.m. is NA, and then 7 o'clock also is Overeaters Anonymous at Pullman Church of Christ. Tuesday, 12 o'clock, AA. 2 o'clock, activities meeting. On Wednesday, 12 o'clock, all recovery and invitation to change happens from 5:30 to 6:45. 7 o'clock again, Narcotics Anonymous. Thursday, 12 o'clock, AA again, and from 5 to 8 is game night, and I believe there's pizza involved in that too, so it's pretty cool. Fridays at 8 a.m., we have Sexaholics Anonymous, 12 noon, AA, 7 o'clock, NA, and 6 to 8, Friday night live, virtual reality. Don't know what that is, but it sounds like fun. And at 8 p.m., Al-Anon. Saturdays at 12, the center is typically closed on Saturdays, but at noon they do have an AA meeting. And on Sundays at 9:30, AA at the Campus Christian Center, which is over on the U of I campus. I think they're calling it Our Place now, but you can still find it there. And 7 o'clock at the Recovery Center again is Narcotics Anonymous. And let's see, coming up on the 10th at 3:45 is our general board meeting, which is our board of directors meets, and it is open to the public, so come on down if you want to find out what we're doing here. Let's see, on the 11th from 4 to 5, they have the wrap meeting at the 1912 Center. And let's see, on the 13th, 11 o'clock, cookie decorating for Valentine's Day, I'm sure. And let's see, is there any other thing coming up? On the 18th, Wednesday the 18th, we're going to have free haircuts here from 3 to 5. So if you need a trim or a decent haircut, want to clean up your act, come on down from 3 to 5. And those are all the big things I see coming up. You can go to the LatahRecoveryCenter.org website and check out every single offering. And one big thing I need to remind you about is our upcoming recovery fundraiser. We have a breakfast and a dessert offering. The breakfast is at 7 a.m. The dessert offering is at 7 p.m. And we're still needing a few table captains. And all that involves is you invite 7 of your closest friends, enemies, we don't care, to come on down, have either a great breakfast or a wonderful dessert, listen to our presentation, tell you about what we do, Our speaker is going to be Megan Guido.
Yes.
Megan Guido.
She's the director of the Pullman.
The Whitman.
The Whitman, yes.
Right. Cool. Yeah, so that should be a pretty cool thing because they're in their first year of operation. And there's a whole lot of cool stuff happening there. So come on down, check that out. If you want to be a table captain, you can give us a call, 208-883-1045. And one of our volunteers here will be happy to point you in the right direction, get you in touch with Daryl, or you can just email us, attention to Daryl, at LatawRecoveryCenter@gmail.com, and they'll get you hooked up. It's all free. Of course, we're going to ask for a donation at the end, but then the ball's in your court. But you can learn about a lot about recovery in Moscow and Pullman from there. And today, I forgot. Hello, Denise. How are you?
Hi. I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, I kind of started ahead of her.
Yeah, that's fair. I was trying to finish things up.
She's doing stuff here. She's a busy woman. And today we're going to kind of go over what I believe was put out probably by Megan or somebody over at the Whitman Recovery Center. They put out a sheet of paper called Recovery Mythbusters. And there's some interesting stuff on here, and I think we'll just start go from the upper right to the lower left.
Like, sounds great.
All right. The first one is recovery means life is perfect or always easy. Ha, ha, ha. Truth. Recovery isn't about being perfect. It's about learning to live with more intention, support, and self-compassion. And in my recovery program, we put it a little simpler. We call it living life on life's terms. Yeah, life is not always sunshine in recovery. Has it been for you, Denise?
No, there's been progress of good things, but it's not life in general. I mean, I don't feel like there's any human being that could say life is just perfect. There's never any problems and it's just always easy. And I feel like that could actually lead to problems if that were the case.
Yeah, rainbows and unicorns. It's all
right.
It's all great.
Can't really learn or grow if everything's perfect. So
that's right.
I think I'd get bored.
I refer to it as there's two kind of days in my life: good days and learning days. Yeah, so I can learn a lot on those learning days, and they're not always easy learning things.
Yeah,
sometimes I really have to put my ego aside and humble myself down as much as possible at the moment and just do what's in front of me and hope that's good enough.
Right. And I think it's in those harder days that we learn to have more compassion for others and what they're going through. And that's a good thing because, you know, we're there for other people as well.
Yeah. I can tell you though, that in sobriety, things do get better. Unfortunately, not only does your life in general get better, but you feel better. And that's a double-edged sword because you're gonna feel emotions better. You're going to feel anger better. You're going to feel sadness better. And for someone like me who, you know, is a recovered alcoholic, I used alcohol to numb all that out. And so learning how to deal with it in a sober world is can be really tough.
Yeah, I think especially like in that initial, however long, you know, it is for somebody till they have kind of a little bit of more of their feet on the ground. I think now I deal with emotions in a more healthy way and realize that it is okay to cry or express things. And as I do that for myself throughout the week and then also in meeting with people, I have some things that I attend or good friends that I meet with. Overall, that kind of helps a lot because then my body and my nervous system knows, hey, you know what? It's okay. She's going to, you know, provide space and time to talk with people and to process things. Like I don't have to get all so anxiety ridden inside because I'm never dealing with those things, you know? It really does help. Just takes a little while to, I don't know, at least for me, it took a little while to go from where, you know, there was active use and all sorts of problems and things like that, you know, where I had gotten to the point of like wanting to avoid life, not answering the phone or getting the mail or dealing with things because stuff had gotten so bad and I had been so irresponsible, to now where it's like, oh, well, that's kind of hard, but let's move forward through it.
Right, yeah. Learning to, like you said, live life on life's terms sometimes. Sometimes the Avista bill is going to be a little late, but you make changes to whatever you're doing as far as your budget and adjust so that next time it isn't.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be that big, scary monster anymore.
Exactly.
It's just something you deal with. It's amazing when it comes to financial things like that and cleaning up financial wreckage, you'd be amazed what a phone call to, you know, a creditor can do for you.
Right, just having a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, touch and base.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm going to be late this month. Mm-hmm. You know, something happened, I got sick, I couldn't work, blah, blah, blah. I'll send you this much, and then next month I'll be able to make up the difference and pay that bill too.
Right.
And they'll be perfectly happy with that. And that might not even go make a ding against your credit report for paying late. It's pretty amazing. So, and those things can be rebuilt.
And I also just want to say, if you're facing big things like that and you're not wanting to make those calls by yourself, you're welcome to come in here and talk to me or Sean. We would be happy to make those kinds of phone calls with you.
Right.
Because initially it can seem really overwhelming. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It can.
Oh, especially when, you know, certain places, you know, you might get turned into collections, for mm-hmm. example, and those people can be just obnoxious and rude, and they try and frighten you. Oh, no, I know the stories.
I know
the stories.
So if you feel like you don't want to do it by yourself, you're welcome to come in here and we can help you do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Moving on here, you must follow one specific path, like 12-step, to recover. Truth, recovery looks different for everyone. Mm-hmm. Peer support, harm reduction, therapy, spirituality, and medication are all valid. And that's true, even though there is a 12-step program for about everything, and my recovery was through a 12-step program, Alcoholics Anonymous, not everybody can or wants to travel that path. They come into AA, they see the word God on the wall, and they panic and run. Well, that's not helpful, but that is part of our recovery program, to establish a connection with a power greater than yourself in the universe. Right. And the word God is it's not a name, it's a job description. So if that's not for you, Denise, tell them about their options here.
Yeah,
there's tons of them.
Right, so at the Laetel Recovery Community, we have those meetings like you were talking about, AA, NA, All Recovery. Obviously, most people know what AA and NA are, but All Recovery is just basically a recovery group where you don't really have to identify with a certain struggle. You could be human being just struggling with life, whether it's grief or, you know, something, ADHD, whatever, mental health or substance use and things. And so you don't have to identify with what you're there for. You can just say your name, or you can just sit and listen. And basically you're just processing about your week, things you're working on, things you're struggling with, just whatever you'd like to share. And then if we still have some time left at the end, we pass around some popsicle sticks and cards, and you can pick a question that you want to share on if it inspires you. And that kind of helps just to share about things, help you to think about different kinds of things, and then for us to get to know each other a little bit better. So there's no, quote, 12-step into it, you know, like with books or something. And then also there's, you know, Restoration Night over at Real Life Church that has faith-based different kinds of recovery programs that pretty much encompass all areas of things that you might need to get help with, even outside of substance use and stuff. And then I also want to mention there's Weeks in Vitri here in town. They have really great supports and counseling, different kinds of recovery classes, and that is secular, so it's not faith-based. But of course, if you have faith, you can go there. Any kind of belief is welcome, as far as when I was there. What else is coming to mind? I feel like something just came into my mind and then it just shot out.
Well, and they also talk about medication here.
Right.
And for somebody who is strongly addicted to an opioid of some sort, there are alternatives, medications that you can get on that will allow you to stop using the opioid and not have the withdrawal symptoms. Suboxone, I think, is one of them. But there are processes through there. And For alcohol, there's a drug called Anabuse, which if you take it, if you drink, it makes you ill. I've heard mixed reports on that one, but if you just think it's a matter of willpower, that will help bolster your willpower. Personally, I believe the substance use and alcoholism are just symptoms of a bigger problem. So, you know, those are good alternatives. I think my opinion for short term, getting past those certain horrible parts of addiction and just getting off the chemical to begin with, but then there's still more work to do.
Yeah, and so that's kind of the thing is one of the ways that it's been presented to me and that I talk to others, whether it's substance use that people are struggling with or mental health, is there is a lot of different like pieces to this of what's going to be able to support you. For instance, I remember when we were talking to my daughter's doctor and she said, yes, you know, like medication is a piece of this. And then there's other parts to it too. So there's, you know, there's counseling and there's CBRS for getting tools and there's just different kinds of supports. And when you put them all together, then you can have a nice, well-rounded program or health or recovery in what you're working on. And so it can be multiple things.
Yeah.
And that's at the same time not to say that it can't start out with just one thing. It's really whatever you decide that it's going to be. I'm not a person that's ever had the MAP program, but what I will say is that there's definitely a difference between working on getting yourself stable and coming off of those things and being able to do it in a way where it's legal. I think that that's a really big benefit, just that one component.
Right.
You know, it's, again, it's not something that I've done, but that one component of you're allowed to be there, you're being monitored and things like that, I think that's very beneficial.
Yeah.
And I would assume also that they're going to help connect you to other options as well. And then again, of course, you can come here, you can go to Weeks in Vitri. There are some other options to be able to talk through what kinds of supports you need.
Right, right. When I was suffering with depression many years ago, they put me on a antidepressant, but also in concert with that, I was seeing a psychologist and doing talk therapy, which was, you know, really useful because the drug helps you feel a little bit better and kind of softens up the you know, the feeling of the anxiety and all that kind of stuff. But until you deal with what is causing it.
Right.
It's not going to help a lot. And I was able to do that. I got better. And in time, I was able to get off of the drug and, you know, under the doctor's supervision. And I've been pretty good ever since, you know. Yeah. I still have my little ups and downs this winter for some reason. Mm-hmm. I've had a little bit of depression, but I've got tools to deal with it now. Right. So I don't have to go to that place where I need those medications to function anymore.
Right.
So, you do all of that.
And that's, again, you know, the importance of your experience and being able to share it as maybe you come across someone who wants to explore different things, you know. You have your own personal interaction with these things, so it's good.
Right, right. And you touched on this medication-assisted treatment, or MAT, isn't real recovery. Well, MAT is a proven life-saving tool.
Yeah.
Recovery includes many pathways, and for some, medication is essential to success and stability. And you talked about that, and I think when they say essential to success and stability, you still need those extra things we talked about.
Yeah, and I want to jump in to say that it occurs to me that sometimes people will give their opinions that may not feel so great to someone else. And I think it's important to consider everyone's recovery is different. And as someone's in recovery, they're exploring different ways to make this work for them and to assist them. And so I would challenge people to not make negative comments unless they've been invited into a conversation with you to be able to explore like what your thoughts are. I've heard different people make comments like, oh, they're not in recovery if they're using those things. And, you know, I would venture to say, unless someone's asking you, you know,
right.
We don't really need any negative stuff when we're coming into recovery. It's kind of hard enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I focus on my recovery, and if somebody wants to talk about exploring ideas and that they're thinking of, I'm definitely willing to do that. But I don't know, I just encourage people to be kind.
My uncle tried AA and it didn't work for him, so AA doesn't work.
Right.
You know, that's
right.
You know, was one person's experience, and sharing it, like you said, not that helpful. I mean, if somebody says, I think I'll try AA, I think the correct response would be, great, good for you.
Yeah.
Let me know how that's going. Do you want me to go with you?
Right. Right.
You know,
or encourage you.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Try a different pathway.
Right.
I mean, I tried a whole bunch of things to get sober before I finally found AA, which is what worked for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, none of them worked for me. And there were people that either said, oh, this is the greatest thing, you know, since sliced bread, or, oh, that's just a bunch of voodoo. None of it was helpful,
right?
You know, other than, oh, how are you doing with that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes.
And
right, those open-ended questions of like being curious about how things are going for them. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, we're not trying to shut people down. We're trying to walk alongside of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's see. If someone doesn't want help, there's nothing you can do. The truth is, while you can't force change, offering compassion, consistent support, and access to resources can open the doors when someone is ready. And this goes into the pre-contemplative road to recovery, where we're pre-contemplative, which obviously means we're not even thinking about it. We're just doing what we're doing, and life is progressively getting worse, typically. And then we go into contemplative, where you realize that things are not working out well, and maybe a change is needed, and then you actually step in to recovery in some form or another. So yeah, it doesn't hurt to tell somebody who's out there running and gunning that, hey, you know, I'm concerned for you, and if you ever want to do something about it, I'd be happy to talk to you.
Yeah.
Someone trying to tell me that even a doctor, hey, your liver is acting up because of your drinking. Okay. Mm-hmm. That didn't scare me into doing anything.
Right.
Well, I cut back from like a half gallon of alcohol a day to like a quart. Mm-hmm. That's not a significant change. But yeah, and most people don't want to hear it, or it makes them angry and just makes them want to react to that like they're reacting to life in general, which is what the problem is for them. And they react by using more, using something different. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've known potheads that have gone to heroin, just because people were on their back about stuff.
Yeah, there can definitely be a resistance. And it is a hard situation for the person who is in active addiction. And I just also want to throw out there that, you know, you can be a family member or a friend of a loved one who's struggling with these things. And we have a group called Invitation to Change that is here on Wednesday nights at 5:30 that Sean and I facilitate. And it really is a great place to be able to come and learn to have compassion for what you're going through as you're hurting for your loved one, but then also to have compassion about what they're struggling with in their addiction. And it's really actually been very changing in my perspective for how I communicate and view one of my loved ones. And so we invite you to come join us for that as well.
Right. And this is not...
Because it's a real thing.
Yeah. Hence, just so people understand, this is not a thing you want to go to if you want to feel sorry for somebody. It's for you. It's for your mental health. Mm-hmm. And they're going to give you tools on how to deal with the person that you're struggling with.
Yeah, it's going to help you to have compassion and be able to talk to them in ways that might encourage them making positive changes. So basically, like, instead of beating your loved one over the head with a baseball bat, you know, it's kind of helping you understand, well, what might be some of the reasons that your loved one is choosing to do that. Let's look at that. Is that really unreasonable? Like the reasons, you know, because one of our chapters is, you know, behaviors make sense. And so anyways, what I would just say is if you have any questions, please call and ask for Denise or Sean. I'd be glad to talk with you about like what that looks like, what that, mm-hmm. what that's about. The authors of the group that we're facilitating are the ones that wrote the book Beyond Addiction.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that you bring up a big point there. You know, when we talk about the recovery center, people think it's just for substance abusers and alcoholics and people with mental or behavioral health problems. Right. It's not. It's for the people that are around those people as well.
Exactly. We want to support everybody who is touched by or, you know, is struggling with.
Yeah. And if you want to come in and talk to some experts, this is the place, and it's free.
Yeah.
I can't say that enough. I still meet people to this day when I share with them that I do volunteer work here, do this radio program and whatnot. Mm-hmm. One in five will ask me, oh, well, what does it cost for mm-hmm. someone to go there? Right. And I'm like, it's free. And they're, what?
Yeah.
You know, well, how do you make any money? It's like, we don't.
We don't.
Just
it's not
spend
like that.
Money.
Yeah. So sometimes I meet with peers who are waiting to get into counseling. They're either on a wait list or... they're waiting to get insurance. And so part of what Sean and I can do is fill that gap in between. We are not licensed counselors, but we are very good listeners. We're good at asking some open-ended questions. We're good at just seeing where you are and helping you find some resources, doing things like, you know, calling your Avista people about how you're going to be late on your bill, whatever kinds of things, looking for jobs, just like life things. Mm-hmm. And so, again, we're not counselors, but we can fill a gap while you're waiting for a counselor. You know, we can kind of work on different things. You can tell us stuff. You can vent to us. We will listen.
Right, right. Because there's one thing I know alcoholics are good at, and that's creating wreckage that needs to be cleaned up.
Right.
And you can start that anytime.
Yeah, exactly. Anytime. And that's the other thing is that, you know, the staff members, most of the staff members and some of the volunteers and interns also understand what that can look like, you know, because if we've struggled with those kinds of things, we know about what that wreckage is. And so it's kind of understood. We're not going to judge you. We just get it. Yeah.
Right, right.
Because we've had to go through the same things, too.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
We're not going to judge you. We just get it.
Yep.
Cool. Let's see. Only people with substance use disorders need recovery. Ha, ha, ha. Recovery applies to many experiences, mental health, trauma, grief, codependency, eating disorders, and more. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, and we talked about process issues last week. Was a process disorders, as
right.
I call it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Process addiction.
Process addiction, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, that's, you can have never touched a substance
right.
or alcohol or whatever in your life and still have process addiction issues that you can deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, we all want to feel better, and everybody's got that thing that makes them feel better. Some people run. That's pretty healthy, if you want to call it an addiction.
Yeah.
That's fairly healthy. I mean, your knees are going to go eventually.
Well, I mean,
you know?
I do want to say that exercising gets... It works out. I don't know if it's in your sweat or in the process of working out. I guess I have to look that up a little bit more. But it does get rid of the serotonin. Is it serotonin? No, cortisol dump.
Cortisol, yeah.
And so exercise can help with those kinds of things if you're struggling mm-hmm. with your fight or flight, with anxiety or stress. Mm-hmm. Exercise can be really good.
Yeah, yeah. And but, you know, then there's other things. There's shopping addiction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We used to have a neighbor who... QVC boxes would show up on her front doorstep mm-hmm. daily mm-hmm. For months at a time, and then it would stop for a while, and then it would start again. And we get to know our neighbors, and one time we went over and to visit and just saw all this stuff stacked up in the house. It's still in boxes, unopened. And I'm like, what's up with this? Oh, I just, you know, I kind of go crazy and just, you know, middle of the night, I can't sleep. And I start, you know, watching QVC and ordering stuff. And I need to send it back. And I'm like, well, maybe we can help you with that. And we did. And
nice.
I mean, there was stuff there that was 3 years old. That had not been opened in boxes mm-hmm. that we couldn't return, but she decided as long as it was long paid for, we donate it. So, that's you great. Know, we came up with a plan to help her with that. To this day, I'm honestly, this was back years ago in California in the early QVC days. And I think she's probably passed on by now, but she seemed to be doing okay when we left with it. Yeah. So,
And I get that. Like around Christmas time, I think I shared the other week about how, you know, like getting into that habit of getting on mm-hmm. Amazon and ordering things. It's like, oh, okay, I'm getting Christmas stuff. And then after that stops and I'm done, I have to be like, okay, step away from the Amazon cart. You know what I mean? It's like, you're exactly. done.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's a habit that I formed during that time. Yeah.
And like I said, it can be harmful stuff, you know, harm you financially, emotionally.
Yeah.
It could be binge watching a television series to the...
Right, because then you're not doing life if it's to that extreme.
Right. You know, you're in for the whole weekend. Not communicating with the outside world and, ordering DoorDash. it can be bad, but you know, there are things that you can become accustomed to more than addicted to. Like runners don't necessarily run 20 miles every day. You know, a good workout is good. Going to the gym 3 times a week, it's going to keep you healthy.
It's a good thing,
but it's not going to be a problem. It's like, I just look at it as anything that interferes with living your life.
Right. Being healthy
is probably not going to be a good thing for you.
I mean, I think we can go through bouts of depression or different kinds of things that happen in life. And it's kind of okay maybe sometimes to just be like, you know what, I'm going to spend the day doing that. But if it seems like it becomes a theme and it's keeping you from going to work, or if it's really seeming like it's interfering with your relationships or life, maybe, maybe give us a call, maybe think about it, you know? Yeah. Like what's going on? Right. What do you need help with? Because if it's just continuing and continuing and continuing, you know, you really might need to talk to a doctor. Is this turning into something? Or I shouldn't say you really might need to. An option could be exploring something like that. Exploring something here. Exploring going to a meeting. Just something. Maybe just turning it off and being like, you know what? I'm just going to sit for a minute. I'm going to write about how I'm feeling.
Right.
What is it that I am ordering all this stuff or buying all these things or binge watching these shows? What is it that I don't want to feel or what's really wrong? You know?
Right.
I did that when I was last year, when I was trying not to buy coffees out, like white chocolate mochas, because I love them. But you know, I go next door and they're like, you know, $6 or whatever. And I was like, I can't do this every day, but I wanted to comfort myself. And so I would start writing down, okay, I didn't say I was going to stop buying them. I just said, I am going to write down what I'm feeling. And then I would go buy it. And then eventually I started addressing the things that I was feeling. I stopped going to buy them. And now I just have one once a week.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there are methods of dealing with, you know, all these issues.
Even little things that you want to work on.
Right, right. And it doesn't have to be the necessarily the big trauma things, you know, the capital T trauma things.
Although those things do need
to be worked on.
Right. And so there are, I feel like after COVID, we did hit a point where we could use some more counselors, and there is telehealth now. There are some local counseling places here in town, you know, that you could explore if you're finding you need that. I just also want to throw out there that I did like a couple hour learning on EMDR. And wow, that sounds like an awesome thing to give a try for things that have to do with post-traumatic stress or big T's or little T traumas, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
We had a
master's level intern here a few years ago who was very much into EMDR. We even did a show on it. I'll have to look that up and replay it one of these days.
Was it EMDR or was it?
It was EMDR.
It was EMDR,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'll remember her name at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Was it the gal with the dark wavy hair?
Yes. Yes.
I didn't know she liked that. I would have picked her brain. I was new here.
Yeah, you were. It actually... It might have been just pre-you.
Might have been.
No, because I interviewed her here, and you were still coming in and doing the radio thing with us.
Cool. Was I working here yet?
Could. I don't think you were.
Yeah, that's probably why I didn't know. It's probably because I think, Yeah, we'll talk later.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Okay.
We like to go off on tangents. You know.
Off on the next one here. People in recovery can't help others until they are fully healed. Truth. Lived experience is powerful. People in all stages of recovery can offer meaningful support, wisdom, and hope. And I will kick this off with a personal story. I was about, I don't know, 6 months into recovery and had finally just gotten a sponsor, an AA program. We call these people that help you work through the steps sponsors. It's kind of a job title, not an exact. You don't have to be sponsored into the program. So I think we had gone through the first 4 or 5 steps out of 12. And this fella came, I shared in a meeting, and a fella came up to me after the meeting and asked me to be a sponsor. And I was like, you know, I'm thinking, well, I can't give away what I don't have. So I said, I think I can, but I need to talk to my sponsor first. So I went and talked to my sponsor, and he goes, well, you got 6 months now, and you're through 4 steps. You know, what has he got? And I'm like, he just came in. He goes, well, then you got more than he does. So go grab him and start working with him like I worked with you, and keep working with me, and you'll stay ahead of him, and you can work with him that way. Mm-hmm. So a drowning man with one arm can still swim a little bit. So, yeah, go ahead and share what you have. There's always a temptation I've found with people who are new in recovery that they want to take the little bit of knowledge that they have and go out and save the world. Mm-hmm. Where that's admirable, it's not always wise, because there is so much to it. And you can share what you have, but if all you have is a week of recovery, you can help the guy who just walked into the door and tell him how you got through that week.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it'd be wise to tell him you can work him all the way through the program.
Right. Yeah. I mean, sometimes when you're in that beginning part, there's definitely an understanding of the struggle, and that could be your part even. Just like, yeah, man, I know how it is. Yeah. Here's my number, you know.
Right.
We can explore finding meetings together, or, you know, saying, hey, I'll meet you here, and then I'll show up because you're here kind of thing, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or, hey, there's this place downtown called the Latar Recovery Center.
Right. Let's go check it out.
Yeah. They've got all kinds of good information and people to talk to down there. Let's go do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good for somebody who is just around somebody who's got a substance problem.
Yeah.
And not sure what to do.
Mm-hmm. We have people that come in throughout the day that just kind of come in to see who's here to visit with, you know, myself or other staff members, volunteers, interns, other people that just come in. And because it is an environment of recovery and like working on things and just, you know, this commonality that we have compassion for each other, people will just come in to have conversations.
Yeah.
And it's just a part of what they do, and that's great.
I know I've seen a lot of people that come in here, and it just looks like they're hanging, but the reality is this is a safe place.
Right.
They're not out on the street bumping into their dealer or somebody they used to use with, or just out there in the public where they don't understand their mental health issue.
Yeah.
And that can be terrifying.
Yeah. And there's some days where there's a volunteer here that bakes really well, and she brings in cookies and different kinds of snacks. And she brought in ridiculously tasty chocolate cookies. And then there's sandwiches out there that got brought in. And then we have food on Friday afternoons. Usually comes in like 2:30-ish or so. Anyway, so, you know, you never know. You might even wind up getting a little bit of food while you're here too.
Right. Exactly.
Catching a meeting.
And that doesn't hurt anybody.
It does not hurt.
Let's see. Might be able to run through these last couple.
Okay. I'll stop being so chatty and we'll make it.
Oh, no, that's fine. Let's see. People in recovery can't have fun or live full lives again. Truth. Recovery opens the door to authentic connection, creativity, joy, and purpose, often more fully than before. And that's true, you know, and I touched on that. You know, once I learned how to live life on life's terms, I discovered things that I had no idea I would enjoy, that I enjoyed just because my mind was closed off to it. Because the only time I could enjoy anything was when I was high.
Right.
I mean, that's all there was to it. And when I first came into AA, that was one of the most terrifying things about it. I'm never going to have fun again. Mm-hmm. How can I possibly enjoy things sober? Man, I go on cruises now. Mm-hmm. I've gone on hunting trips with people. A buddy of mine down in the valley has a boat. We went out steelhead fishing, didn't catch a thing, had a great time going up and down the Snake River in his boat with a jet drive. I mean, it wild and crazy. And it's not something I would have thought of doing because I wouldn't have, you know, how could I bring enough alcohol along for that? How long right. were we going to be, you know, and that sort of thing. Because if I couldn't, I mean, it wouldn't be fun at all.
Right. And I think for me, it took just a little bit of time to adjust to being in recovery, not having substances anymore, and feeling like things were fun again. There was a little bit of an adjustment.
Yeah.
But after I got through, like, I started having a little bit of fun that summer. And then I think things really started to settle in and seem fun again.
Yeah, I remember you went on campouts and you were just crazy for like a week afterwards. I mean, crazy happy.
Crazy happy.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah. Having new friends in recovery, it's good.
That's right. You will. Yeah, a guy told me when I came into AA, he says, the good news is you're going to make a lot of friends. He says, the bad news is we're it.
I love that. That's good.
That's honest, but yeah, painfully honest. And finally, recovery is a straight line. Oh, truth. Recovery is often messy, nonlinear, and deeply personal. Progress can include setbacks, plateaus, breakthroughs, and it's all valid.
Yep.
Boy, yeah, I could talk for another hour on this. I refer to my early recovery as a nonlinear panic, which means I ran in one direction until I hit something, ricocheted off, went into another direction until I hit something there, ricocheted off, till finally, like I said, I got a sponsor who kind of put a leash on me and said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through this book. We're going to work on these steps, and we're going to, you know, work towards you having a spiritual awakening and realizing that, you know, going 90 miles an hour and bouncing off stuff, trying to find the answers is not really going to help you.
Right. I feel like I'm laughing because I kind of get it.
Yeah. Yeah. The classic. I think I stole that from Patrick McManus when he talked about going on a nonlinear panic from a hunting lodge in Montana and winding up somewhere in Oregon. So yeah. You don't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. And setbacks happen.
They do.
Relapse
and that's okay.
happens.
Mm-hmm. And you can learn from them.
Yeah. I rarely ever met anyone who came into AA and on their first try through stayed with it and stayed sober. Most people do not have a burning bush experience. Yeah. We even say in our literature, most of us have what's called the educational variety, where it takes time and making mistakes and going out and coming back. I'm fortunate that, you know, my story was like that in the beginning. I made a few false starts, but I knew where to come back to. Mm-hmm. And once I did that, and finally decided, you know, they say keep coming back. We had a guy who used to, at the end of the meeting, they'd say keep coming back, and he'd say no, stay. Mm-hmm. And that finally made sense to me at some point.
Yeah, but
and
that's
I
good.
Stayed, mm-hmm. and I stayed, and life got better, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, and there are breakthroughs. You know, when I first read the AA Big Book, I thought I was reading something in Arabic. It didn't make a lot of sense to me until, you know, I worked not only with my sponsor, but going to Big Book studies and listening to people interpret that 1935 or 39 mumbo jumbo to me, that arcane language that they use. But even more so, you know, getting down to nuts and bolts on it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I remember just having the opportunity to be around people and being in small groups, and I really love that. That's still really big on my heart and a big passion in my work and volunteer time. I really love that connection and togetherness.
Yeah. Yeah. Community, this is one thing we didn't really touch on in going through all this, but, you know, a big part of my recovery is my AA community.
Right.
I've shared before, you know, I've got, I don't know how many numbers in my phone, but if I did a mass text that just said help, the roads coming into Moscow would be impassable for at least a half an hour.
Next time there's too much traffic, I'm going to be like, dang it, I need to check on Johnny.
I better check on Johnny.
Jeepers.
Oh, wait, it's football weekend. Oh, okay. That's different.
Right. Yeah.
He's probably
I'll be like, oh, the hotels are full. It's football weekend. Yeah, it's fine. Okay.
Yeah, because I probably have, you know, 200 or 300 people trying to crash on the floor at my house.
Right.
So anyway,
at least they have a good view. So
yeah, there's that.
If everybody only knew how cool your house was, what a good view you and your wife have, I think they might visit you more often. So
that is a blessing. Yeah. That is a blessing. So we're up against the clock here. So thanks, Denise, for coming in and sharing your thoughts. I'm glad we got a lot of information about the center out too. I don't think we do it enough, but you know, you don't want to beat the same thing over and over again.
And I just wanted to throw out there that the Whitman Recovery Center that's in Pullman, Washington on Main Street, their phone number is 509-715, it looks like 1111. That's their phone number.
1111.
Right? Yep. Four ones. Yep, and you can give them a call if you're in that area. And if you're in the Moscow area, stop in on Main Street. We're located right next door to One World.
Yep, One World Cafe.
Yeah.
Home of the addicted chocolate latte.
There's honestly, there's a pretty good amount of coffee shops here locally, like on Main Street, and then little ones around town to be able to drive up to and get your coffee and go. So we're pretty lucky in that way. It's probably because of all the students that we have that we can support
That need to be heavily caffeinated.
Yes. Caffeinated.
Amen to that. All right. Well, hey, you know, we'll close it off with the usual. If you think you have a problem with substances, alcohol, behavioral health stuff, you do. And you have an option to come down to the Latah Recovery Center and chat with one of the volunteers or Denise or Sean or whoever is here.
Free coaching.
Try some recovery in your life. Have a good one. Thanks for listening.